Well, as always, I was looking through the lectionary texts to see what they held for us for this Sunday. Lectionaries being used all over the world, and through the mysterious agency of the Holy Spirit, there's often something specific for hundreds of different congregations, and it's all different. It's just a miracle to me every time I even think about it. And as I was looking at our various readings, all of which are interesting and have many things worthy of thinking about, what I kept coming back to was being born again. And I thought, well, what do we need to talk about that for? It's a reasonably mature congregation. Most people here, I think, have been in the faith for considerable periods of time. What do we have to say about being born again? Well, I think it is worth thinking about. As I've said before, often when we take a look at something that we know well from a slightly different perspective, we see new things. And maybe this morning there will be a new thing for you. Because what triggered it for me is that I thought, maybe even for the first time, why did Jesus use this particular image of being born again? He didn't have to use that. He could have said that we all need to be transformed, which is about the same kind of thing. He said, perhaps he could have said we all need to be renewed in a spiritual sense from the inside out, which also accomplishes the same thing. But he chose born again. And because I don't believe Jesus chose his metaphors and his symbols just at random, I think there's something there for us that perhaps we've overlooked. At least, I think I've overlooked it, or at least not paid enough attention to it. And that's that we need to pay careful attention to what it means to be born again. And let's remember what it means to be born. It's a brand new experience. It's something that's never happened before. When human beings are born, they go from a place where they don't have to do anything at all, except simply float and apparently kick. So I've been told. I've never experienced that, although I have seen it, so it's obviously fairly dramatic. Into a place where they then have to do things, where it's bright and where everything is new and different. And I think sometimes we gloss over that when we think of people becoming born again. And born again means moving into an explicit relationship with God through Jesus. Not just acknowledging that God exists, but moving into this relationship with Him is just like being born. And one of the things that we know perfectly well about new babies is that they can't do everything. Actually, they can't do very much. They have to learn how to do things. I mean, some of it is innate, but you know, babies have to learn how to breathe because, of course, they come out and they're breathing, but sometimes they choke and they cough. They have to know how that works. Babies are born with at least some sense of how to eat, at least for the most part. You bring food close enough for them to get at and they eat, but they still choke on that and they spit up and they have to learn these things. Nobody ever looks at a baby and says, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you walking around? You're 3 hours old. Get up. No, we never say that. Because we know that a baby has to go through a maturing process, has to grow into a number of things. Occasionally, we forget this when we're talking about the new birth, about people being born again. And I don't know if you are interacting with anyone who is in this newly born state, or if you're close enough to it yourself, or you're revisiting it yourself, or whatever that might be. But it's easy for us, particularly when we're talking to people who have some experience, at least with church, to look at them from the perspective of, why aren't you whatever yet? But they're babies. And we need to pay attention to the fact that when people are born again, they're born not as mature Christian grown-ups, but as babies. Paul talks about that. Jesus uses this image. It's all over Scripture that we need to pay attention to people who are babies and let them be where they are. Now, it's quite possible that none of us are intimately connected with anyone who is in that early stages of their spiritual development. In which case, I suppose you could think of this whole notion of thinking about born again as being irrelevant, but there was something else that struck me. We tend to be, or at least we can be, in a hurry with children. We want them to do things. And mostly it's pretty much entirely because of good motives. And when babies are born, at first the fact that they're just there is enough, but then we want them to do things. And we carefully monitor their progress and we rejoice in all the new things they can do. And there's lots of them rolling over. But one of the first really big ones is walking. Everybody wants to know when your baby is walking. If they're walking yet, when they're going to be walking. Are they walking early or are they walking late? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Walking is part of the developmental process. We should rejoice in that whenever it happens. But what happens if you encourage someone to develop prematurely? And we'll use walking as an example. What happens to a baby who goes from sitting to standing and walking and skips over that whole crawling section? Well, it tends to make for proud parents, as if they somehow had something to do with the fact that a child is walking early and want to brag about that. But there's been some very interesting correlations drawn between whether or not a child crawls and how easy it is for them to learn how to read. We're not entirely sure what the connection is, but people have intuitively captured this, and I know that because my stepmother was a teacher. Well, is a teacher. I usually learn something when I go hang around with her, even though she's retired. She was a missionary, and she taught for a number of years. She taught sort of public school age and then moved into college and seminary, which is where I met her and introduced her to my father, and then they got married, which is kind of odd. But anyway, that's another story for another day. When she was teaching in Ecuador, she was teaching grade 2 students. And she noticed that some students found it difficult to learn how to read, more so than others, like difficult in an unusual way. And she also noticed that when they played games that involved crawling, it seemed to be easier for these children to learn how to read. And the reason why this story came up is because I ran across some studies here and there that figured this out as well, that children who walk early and don't crawl much at all frequently have difficulty learning how to read. And the interesting thing is that at least up to some age, and I don't know what that age is, if they play crawling games, even in grade 2 when you're 7 or 8 years old, it can improve your ability to learn how to read. Now, nobody looks at their child and says, I want to mess up their ability to read when they're older, so I want them to get up and walk. No, of course not. They want their children to walk because that's what children do. They walk and then they run and then they don't slow down until they're 20, as far as I can tell. So, of course, it was well-meaning encouragement that had an outcome that you would never have been able to predict. What happens when we are around someone who is born again and we push them into premature development? I think there's real value in looking at Jesus' metaphor of born again for the transition into that relationship with him to see if there might be some other things that are there for us. I know that the lack of crawling can interfere with people's ability to read because one of my brothers was like that. He was one of those kids who went from sitting to standing to walking and never really crawled. And he really struggled learning how to read. I mean, he did. It just took him longer. He's a voracious reader, graduated from university. So, I mean, these things can be risen above, of course. But is it possible that we can, through zeal, do the same to someone who is born again? And it is. And I know this because it actually happened to me. When I came to faith, as you all know, as I've spoken often, it was when I was an older person, but had grown up in the church, so I had an awful lot of head knowledge. I knew a lot of things. I'd had good Sunday school teachers who helped me learn stuff about the Bible and about God, and I knew it in my head, it was there. And when I came to faith, I found myself within a very few months leading a Bible study. And I know that the person who asked me to lead this Bible study did it because they saw something in me that led them to believe that I could probably teach people, that I knew lots of things about the Bible, both of which were true, and assumed that I would have the necessary spiritual and sort of personal maturity to teach well. And I didn't. Because I just come into this whole thing. I just come into the faith, and then this moment of, wow, this is amazing, had my own kinds of zeal that while I was able to communicate the facts of what we were talking about as a book of Ecclesiastes without too much trouble, what I didn't have was the maturity to let people think otherwise. Lots of us have problems letting people think otherwise because, well, they don't think like I do, so they must be wrong. This is the sign of an immature person. And while I certainly hope that I didn't lead anyone astray, and I don't think I did, but the discussions we had tended to very quickly devolve into black and white conversations about one of the most non-black and white books in the Bible. And it was because I knew lots of stuff, but I didn't have the maturity, I didn't have the patience that comes with maturity to let people think other things. And I didn't have the humility to think that they could very easily be right and I'm wrong. Or maybe both of us were wrong. Or maybe both of us were right. And I was hurried into leading Bible studies. In a sense, I was asked to walk before I crawled. And it caused problems. Because, well, first of all, in most churches, if you're willing to do anything with other youth, there's a tendency for people to think you're wonderful, whether you are or not. So you tend to think that what you're doing must be right. And it took me a long time to realize that, no, the best way to study the Bible when I'm having some kind of a facilitating role is to say, this is what the Bible says, and this is what lots of other people think it means. What do you think? And then listen, as opposed to formulating my response about why you're wrong while you're talking, or not even asking at all. It took me a long time to get over that because people said, you lead a great Bible study. And I think, no, I led a Bible study and you didn't have one before, so it was better than the one you had before. Did they mean ill of me? No, they didn't at all. And in the same way that no parent says, I want to mess up your ability to read, so get up and walk. They didn't look at me and say, we want to make you even more sure of yourself when you shouldn't be than you are already. It took me a while to get over that. And that's why I bring this up. Is because I don't know whether anyone here had a similar experience in some way, where when you came to faith, you were asked to do something that was beyond where you actually were. But if you were, it's not impossible that it caused problems. And it's not impossible that some of those problems are still here now. But in the same way that you can take an 8 or 9 year old and have them play games crawling on the floor that they enjoy, that also helps them read, we can do things now to address any kind of premature development or speeding along into things we weren't really equipped for. There's no easy answer. It's not a matter of all of us getting around and crawling. If that solved everything, goodness sakes, we wouldn't even have pews. We'd all just crawl around. For me, it was understanding exactly how little I know, but remembering that I still know some things. For me, it was an opportunity to understand that with maturity, hopefully comes humility. When I was much like an adolescent. You know, you see those bumper stickers, you know. If you're an adolescent, you know, figure everything out now while you still know everything. You know, those sorts of things. And I was very much like that in those early days of my faith. Is my faith less strong now that I'm not quite as sure of everything? No, I'd say that it's actually a lot stronger. But I'm so much more willing to let people take the time they need to get to where they need to be, not where I think they should be today. It took me a long time to learn that, but I did. In the same way that my brother learned how to read. I don't know if he crawled around and that helped. I can't remember. I was too close in age to him to know for sure. But what I do know is that we can address these things that happened to us then and make them better now. In the same way that through remedial instruction of all kinds, we can deal with issues in just growing up, where we grew up too fast, where these things happen. We can fix them, sometimes medically, sometimes just through retraining. We can fix them in our physical world. We can fix them in our spiritual world. But we need to be patient with ourselves about fixing them. Because I've come to the conclusion that all of these things begin because of impatience, and it appears that the way to solve them is not with becoming more impatient, but becoming much more patient. Which is hard for some of us. It's hard for me. When I know what needs to be done, why isn't this done already? Why didn't I do this yesterday? In many ways, I'm hardest on myself, and I suspect many of you are too. And we think, oh, I should have fixed this already. Well, you know what? Maybe you're not the person who's solely responsible for that. Maybe you took advice from somebody who was doing the very best they could, and it led you in a way that wasn't helpful. Well, be patient with them, be patient with yourself, stop beating yourself up and saying, how can I get better at that? How did I get better at being humble? I started admitting that I made mistakes. Doesn't sound like much of a leap forward, does it? You all know I make mistakes. Well, I knew I made mistakes. But by admitting that I made mistakes, I suddenly realized that nobody was going to judge me intolerably. I wasn't going to be beaten up for admitting I made a mistake. And interestingly enough, every once in a while when I admitted a mistake, people said, no, that's not a mistake, you're actually right. And it enabled me to see more clearly and more carefully what I was actually able to offer and rejoice in what I could offer and be a little bit less arrogant about what I didn't know about. And I became a better teacher, and I think a better preacher, and I think, well, and I know, a better person. And a lot of it started because somebody saw a lot of the picture of who I was, but not all of it, and made a suggestion that had a poorer outcome than they would have thought and than I would have thought. I don't know if you're dealing with any poorer outcomes than you thought. That when you became born again, that you were moved in a direction that you now realize wasn't helpful for you. And maybe it was helpful for every other person who went through that, but it wasn't for you. And it's okay for you to admit that. And say that in the same way that things happen when we're born that nobody would have predicted, but you fix them through time and sometimes through a lot of work, sometimes it happens the same way when we're born again. Jesus didn't pick this metaphor just out of the air. The more I've been thinking about it over the last week or so, the more I've been struck by, this is so much richer than I ever would have thought. It has so many more connections to us. In the same way that we tend to be more patient with children than with adults, we need to be more patient with people who are babies in the faith, who are children in the faith, who are adolescents in the faith. We need to, in the same way with the adolescents in our lives, we need to rejoice in their energy and their drive without telling them that, yes, everything is black and white, which is where adolescents tend to live, that there are shades of gray and lots of things. But when we point that out, not to squash the other, it's hard work. And it's harder work with people who are born again because they don't look, you can't tell by looking at them. It's pretty easy to tell a baby. Toddlers are pretty self-evident. Children in public school, adolescents, people who have just come to faith or are revisiting some of the things about their faith in ways that are very, very beginning, look just like they always looked. So we have to ask. We have to listen carefully. We have to be patient with the people around us. And we really have to be patient with ourselves. So I don't know. I don't have any divine insight into where anyone in this room is other than me. And I don't even know if the insight into me is divine. But I don't have this feeling that out there, there are people struggling with this in particular ways. I don't have that feeling. But it's certainly possible. And so I'd encourage you to take some time when it's convenient and when you feel up to it to think about those early days and weeks, months, even years of your transition into a faith in God through Jesus. And see if some of the things that happened there in that original zeal, that original burst of energy, those things that you and other people thought were a good idea turned out to have some outcomes that you weren't planning on and that you wish wouldn't have happened. Because you can address those. You can figure out that, oh, that's why I do that, but I don't want to do that anymore, and start changing them. You might need some help. That's why we have elders and other people who can give you a hand. But usually for most of this, just talking to anybody seems to be pretty helpful. Because we were born again. But we weren't born again as grown-ups. We were born again as babies. Just like we were born as babies. And maybe some things didn't go exactly the way we planned. And maybe, just maybe, we need to fix some of them. Amen.